Today's share in the Deir Shu Mishnah Berurah Yomi program is Daf Ayin Dalad Omud Beis. We're in the third volume of Mishnah Berurah, and we're Mitzvah Shem, we're going to finish Simen Reish Ches Tzadi today and start Reish Tzadi Tes. We're up to the last Sif, which begins on the bottom of Ayin Dalad Omud Aleph, Sif Tes Vav. The Mechaber tells us, Ner Besol Cheiko, if a person has the Havdalah candle on his lap, as we'll see in a way that the flame and the light both together can't be seen. Oh, besoch panos, or he has it in some sort of a container. The Rama explains, panos means pirush, kli shinosin bo haner shelo sichbe. It's some sort of a container which you put the candle inside so it shouldn't get blown out. We would say something like a lantern. Oh, besoch aspaklarya, or you put the candle inside a glass. We'll see that there are different interpretations exactly what this aspaklarya is, but let's assume right now that it's a clear glass container, again, like a lantern. In all of these situations, the Mechaber tells us, roa es ha-shalheves, if you can see the actual flame itself, however, ve'eno mishtamish lora, but is in a way that you can't get any benefit from the light itself. You may be able to see that there's a light there, but you can't get hanor from it to distinguish between a matbeya of one country from a matbeya of another country. Or, mishtamish loro, you can actually get hanor from the light. However, ve'eno roa es ha-shalheves, but you can't see the flame. You just see illumination over there, but you don't see where the flame is coming from. In both of these situations, in mevorach aleh, you're not allowed to use this for havdalah candle, and you can't make a bari me'ariyesh on it. What is the requirement? The Mechaber tells us you need to have both. Ad she'e roa es ha-shalheves, you have to be able to see the actual flame itself, and umishtamish lora, and get benefit from the light. So you need both, to see the flame, and to have enough of a light over there that you can see the difference between one coin and another coin, and this will allow you to go and get true benefit from it, and those are the requirements for Havdalah Borme Ari Ha'esh. Mishnah Berurah in Sifkan Lam Zayin explains, Hainu, that which we said that the lamp is in your lap, Shaisa Tzmuna Besol Cheiko, it's covered up in a way, it's in between your legs in some sort of way on your lap, that a person cannot see both the flame and the actual light from coming from the flame. Shena roa ha-shalheves, you don't see the flame in this situation, v'lo nishtamish lora, and you can't get benefit from the light. Likewise, v'chein panos ki aigavna, the container that we talked about, the lantern or whatever this panos actually is, v'hadr mosif aspaklaya, which the Mechaber then adds this glass-enclosed light, the afa pishu roa so'or, derech aspaklaya, because even in the case where this is a glass lantern, and you can see the flame through the glass, the Mishnah Berurah tells us that the Mechaber's opinion is, mikol mokum lo mikre zeriya mamish. That's not called looking at the flame directly, that's called seeing it through a glass. And in Le'inyan Birchas Bar Mi'areish, that's not enough. Deboino she'eha or magula, you have to be able to see the actual flame without anything intervening between you and it. Famogen Avram, Mishar Achor Mekasu. However, the Mogen Avram, and many other chronim bring down based upon as the Bir Halacha Dibra Maskel Obesoch Aspaklarya tells us based upon a Rashba the Dafka Bepanos Shishol Barzel that they want to explain that the Mechaber is talking about over here an iron type of a lantern that may have holes in it so you can see the light coming out of it but you can't really see the flame. Av Shiyesh Bonekovim, even though it has holes in it, Ein Ruro Hashalheves Led, you don't see the flame by itself, and therefore it's no good. But these Achronim, the Magen Avraham, and others, based upon this Rashba, say, Avol Baspaklar Yishol Zuchuchis, if it's a true glass type of a lantern, Mikre Roa Shalhevis, you're seeing the actual flame through the glass, that's not called indirect, that's called direct seeing the flame, and would be good, according to the Magen Avraham, these other Achronim. Ve'yachol Avarach Aleha, Kishi B'samuch Lo, and you could make the Bar Mi'ariyesh on it as long as it's close enough to you, Shiyuchol L'shtamish Lora, that you're getting benefit from the light itself. So that's a much more lenient opinion over here brought down by the Magen Avraham. How does the Mishnah Berurah conclude? The Mishnah Berurah says, V'ayin in the Bir Halacha, in this Dibra Maschel O Besoch Aspaklaya, which is a quite long Bir Halacha, he brings down Sheveinu, the Kama Poskim Sovrim Kedasa Shulchan Aruch, that many Poskim, in fact, do hold like the Shulchan Aruch over here and Amachbir. And if you look towards the end, about 9 lines from the bottom, at the end of the line, where the Chafetz Chaim writes, Hayotzi Midvarenu, the bottom line is, Kivan de Ein Lanu Shum Raya Neged Pirush Rashi Shepanus Huashashi, since we don't have any Raya, that this lantern over here that we're talking about is not a glass lantern, and even though the Rashba seems to say otherwise, nevertheless, the Gamba Orchos Chaim Shuvo Beis Yosef Pasuk Tetzurach Lotzia Or Mehas Chuchis Kodim Shibavarach, and he brings down that the opinion of the Orchos Chaim is that you have to take the light out of the lantern, you must remove the flame from the lantern and whatever container it's in to open it up so you can see the flame directly. This also, he says, the opinion of the Darki Moshe Aruch, and this is also the opinion of the Beis Yosef, not like the Rashba. And he says also the Shulchan Aruch himself over here doesn't distinguish, and he says as well the Shita Mekubetzes and the Vilna Gaon all hold over here, like the simple understanding of the Shulchan Aruch, that even if it's a glass aspaklari, it's no good, and this is based upon the Yerushalmi. And he brings down the Tosefta Shabbos as well, doesn't include the words over here of leniency of the Magen Avraham, as opposed to Masha Ein Darko Kim B'chol Makom, where he normally does include the Magen Avraham when he is lenient. And therefore, the bottom line is, the Chafetz Chaim says, Al Kenira Dein Lahoka was there. One should not rely upon this lenient approach of the Magen Avraham and others based upon the Rashba. And he says, V'av she'en banu koach limchos b'yad ha'makil mizeh. If somebody wants to use a flame that is inside a glass lantern and use that for Abdullah, you don't have to protest. V'yesh lahem amishi yismuchu. They do have the Magen Avraham and the Rashba to rely upon. The Mishnah Berurah, however, says, Mikol mokum l'chadchila b'vadi noch l'hachmer b'zeh. One should not rely upon this l'chadchila. And he says, the fact it might be a chashash brocha l'vatol, according to those that disagree. The issue for number 30 brings out a fascinating question. If this is true, then how are you allowed to look at the Havdalah candle while you're wearing glasses? And indeed, he brings down the Ketzos HaShulchan who asked this question, who says, L'chora tzorach hayo la'asira m'shas ha'bracha. You should have to take off your mishkafayim when you're making Havdalah. And he says, I never heard of anybody saying that you have to do that. And this likewise is the opinion of Shlomo Zalman, that you do not have to take off your glasses when you're making Havdalah, bari me'or yo'esh. And in an explanation of this, from this in Karlitz, Shlita says, Shekivin shemishkafayim betelim klapi odom. The mishkafayim, your glasses, are almost like a part of you. They're bottled to you. That's not called the chisorin in gilui haner. That's not called that the flame is not directly visible. And he says, it's only when it's in a glass container, in ashashis, inside a lantern, that is called a chisorin, according to these poskim over here that the Shulchan Aruch brings down, like the Yerushalmi, that say that that's a chisorin. As opposed to when you do Birchas HaLavana, so the Shaar HaTzion in Tav Chof Vav says, Me'ikra Din, you could see the Lavana and do Kiddush Lavana through a glass window. However, Mikol Makom L'Chatchila over there, he brings down Shetov Yosef Liftoach Es HaChalon. It would be better if you did not look through the window, but opened up the window and saw the moon directly. And some even have the custom, similarly with your glasses, to take off your glasses for a moment and look at the moon without your glasses. Again, certainly one is Yotze, I believe, even if you don't do that. In any event, the bottom line here for the Mishnah Berurah is that one should not rely upon the more lenient opinion, Mestama, unless there are truly extenuating circumstances, L'chadchila, you should not rely upon this. Sivkot Lamed Ches. What's an example where you're not getting benefit from the light? K'on sh'omed mirachok, you're standing far away from where the light is. And you can see that there is a light flickering over there. You may see the flame, but it's so far away that you're not getting any benefit from it. You couldn't tell the difference between one coin and another coin, and therefore you need both. We said in the Mechaber, you need to see the shalheves as well as to get benefit from the light. Sivkot lamites. How could it be an example of where you're able to benefit from the light, but you can't see the flame? That's if you're standing off to the side and your vision is blocked in some way. That concludes Simon Reish Ches Tzadi. And now we begin Reish Tzadi Tes. Shalo lecho lo lasso shum melocha kol mishavdol. A person is not allowed to eat or drink or do any melocha before he bakes Havdalah. Mechaber starts off with Sif Aleph. Osu lecho shum dovar. A person is not permitted to eat anything. Or afilu lishtos yayin or sharmashkin, or even to drink something, with the exception chutz b'mayim, with the exception of water, misha techshach, once the darkness has come, ad sheyabdil, until he makes avdol. We'll define what we mean by darkness coming in a moment. As opposed to, however, that's starting the meal or drinking once it's dark. Avolam hayoyoshiva ochel mi bojom the choshkelo. If you were already eating and drinking while it was still daytime, and then it became dark, then eino tzorich lahavsik, one does not have to stop his eating or drinking. And the Ramah tells us, afilu mishasiyah, you don't even have to stop your drinking at that point in time. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Aleph tells us, afilu b'sofik chashecha. This is true even if it's not definitely dark outside, but it's only a sofik. We're in the twilight zone over here, and we don't know yet if it's still daytime or nighttime. And he says, ayin le'el b'simin reish samachalap b'mishnah Berurah, the naktinon l'sofik chashecha tekef mishukshoch g'achama. We discussed in great detail previously in Simin Reish Samachalap how we define nightfall. Do we define it from the shkia, like the opinion of the Gaonim, or do we define it from a period of time somewhat before Rabbeinu Tamzman? So it is 58 minutes or so after the Shkia. And then we had the discussion, Linyan Hadlokas Haneiros Uchol Melacha, in regards to when you stole a lot to light candles and when you have to stop doing Melacha. So the definition of Mishnah Techshach will be different according to these different opinions. The Mishnah Berurah concludes and he says, when we call Makom, nevertheless, near a lead appears to me, the Linyan Achila Suda Shlishis, in regards to eating Shalashudis, im lo ocha mikodim, if you haven't eaten Shalashudis, then you can rely upon the more lenient opinion in the sense that it's still daytime, more machmir in the sense that it's still Shabbos, bevadei tzorich lechol afilu achar shkia, and you would be allowed to start eating shalashudas even if it's after the shkia. And he says, v'afilu l'shar achila, im hutoev lechol l'shtos, and even if it's not shalashudas, you already had shalashudas, but you're hungry now, or you're thirsty. Gam kein ein lahachmir, he says, you don't have to follow the more stringent opinion of when it's misha techshach, you could rely upon the more lenient opinion of misha techshach, which would be ad chatzi shor, shekodim tzeis kochavim, which would be a period of time, a half an hour before the stars have come out for this halacha. In the Shaarat Tzionos Dalet, the Chofetz Chaim tells us the reason why you need a half an hour before over here of Tzeisik Ochavim is because at that point in time, also lahasul lecho besuda gamishum kriyashma tefila. Here you have a separate problem. You're not allowed to eat a meal within a half hour of the time that you're supposed to start saying kriyashma and davening shmona esrei. Dishavut number 7 points out that on the other end, however, if you're eating before the shkia, you are allowed to eat within a half an hour of before the shkia. And this is brought down by the Ksos HaShulchan, that according to the Gaonim's opinion, that says you can eat until this period of time. So since this is a mitzvah overis, you would be allowed to eat before the shkia, even though it's within a half an hour now of the shkia, which would be, according to some, misha techshach. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal points out that this would only apply to somebody who hasn't yet fulfilled the mitzvah of shalashudis. But if somebody has already fulfilled the mitzvah of shalashudis, then they wouldn't be allowed to eat then, according to this opinion of the Gaonim. He suggests another reason for the kula is because people normally don't make Havdalah during this period of time, so it's not 30 minutes before Havdalah, and therefore it's not a problem. Dishavut number 1 brings down that in addition to water, which the Mechaber told us a person could drink before Havdalah, he says tea without sugar, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, would also be allowed. And the Sefer Shelus HaTshuva Salmas Chaim says the same thing would apply to drinking sweetened waters. However, the Shelus HaTshuva Salmas Chaim is a little bit more strict, and he says you're only allowed to have tea or coffee, even without sugar, only if you're an older person or a sick person. Dishavut number 2 brings down that the Chazon Ish was even more machmir than we said as well, and that he would not start eating after the shkia under any circumstances, even if he hadn't had Suda Shlishis. Dishavut number 3 points out that in Eretz Yisrael, certainly most people, he said, do not hold from the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, but hold more like the Shita of the Gaonim, and therefore, Bein Hashmoshus Maskel Miyad Bishkia. Therefore, it is much more problematic, according to these opinions, for a person to start eating after the Shkia. And this is especially true if he's already fulfilled Shalashudas, as we pointed out before. Now we go back to the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says, Kosav Amogin Avram, the Masha Kosav Amachaber Misha Techshach, that which the Mechaber wrote over here, that you shouldn't start eating anything after it's Techshach, after it's night, Myri Kisholos Bal Arvis. We're talking here where you didn't yet daven Marv. Avalum Hispalal Arvis. Once a person daven Marv, Afilum Hispalal Mibo Jom, even if he daven Marv much earlier, which we had pointed out previously in Simon Reish Sadi Gimel, the Yesh Evshar Ofen Shemutta, that under certain situations, which extenuating circumstances, you can actually daven Marv similar to every day after Plaga Minchot. So even on Shabbos afternoon, you theoretically can, under certain situations, daven Marv early. Nevertheless, Cholol of Chovas Havdalah. In that situation, you're absolutely obligated to make Havdalah. So even if it's earlier, V'asu Lechol Atshiyad L'Akos, and you certainly can't go and eat anything further after that, once the Chiyav for Havdalah comes upon you, so then you have to go and make Havdalah L'Akos before you eat or drink anything. However, the issue foot number 6 does remind us that if you did make Havdalah ala kos, but you weren't able to have a candle there or the besamim, so the Prima Gadim already taught us, shim hivdil kodim alayla, vadei shemutu lo lecho, then you can eat if you made Havdalah early. But that's Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, sha'afim hivdil balayla mutu lo lecho, even if you haven't made on the besamim or on the ner at night, you're allowed to go and eat as well. Shari Havdalah, hi ha'ikar, the saying Hamad b'kosh l'chol ala kos, that's the ikar part of Havdalah, ukvar hivdil, and that's called that you finished Havdalah, and you're allowed to eat now. Ve'in chayav l'chazer acharinir, and you don't have a chiv to go after the candle. Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Beis writes that if a person was already seated and eating before it was chashecha, and only afterwards it had become dark, he's still allowed to continue eating. He doesn't have to stop. And the Mishnah Berurah explains, v'afilu rak hascholah ba'alma, even if he only started a little bit. For example, sheberach birchas hamotzi mibo jom, all he did was make the hamotzi before it became dark. V'nishta lechol, and he didn't really even eat, ad shechashecha, that still is considered that he started beforehand, and he doesn't have to stop and interrupt. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Gimel explains that eating before the day ended, mibo yom, dafka bezeh, only in this situation, shehischo lecho behetin, where he started eating where it was permissible. However, avolim hischo beisr posik umadil, if he started when it wasn't permitted, we don't say, well, you can continue eating, but you have to stop and make havdalah. However, ach belav hochi tzorich livsuk mishum kriyash mashalav rishido raisa. He says, in any event, you would have to stop in that situation where you didn't start the heter because you're not allowed to eat before you daven kriyash mashalav. Then he points out, im hiskol lecho betzoch chatzi shor shekodim seis hakochavim ukudalei albusim reish lamed hey. If you did start eating in a point in time, which was in a half an hour of seis hakochavim, that we learned when we were dealing with halachos of Maariv, the endless smoch al kriyas hashamish lebeis haknesses, you can't rely upon the fact that the shamish will call you to come to shul, v'afilu mokum shederech likros, even if that's the normal way that they go and call people. Unless elam ragil lelech lebeis haknesses b'motzi Shabbos, unless this person always goes to shul on Motzi Shabbos, then he could possibly rely upon it in this situation. Brought down in the name of the Magen Avraham and the Shagas Aryeh. Dishavut number 9 reminds us of a halacha that we had previously in Reish Lamed Beis, that once the Gabbai does call you in this situation, you have to stop immediately, because otherwise what's the purpose of saying, oh, Gabbai is going to call me and I'll stop? If you don't stop, so then it doesn't count at all whatsoever, and therefore you can't rely upon that kula. He then adds as well, Umisha regilim hatzibu lovo lehispala bebeso. If you're in the house where they're going to daven Maariv, so then we learned also in Simon Pei Tess, shemuta lo lumot kodem atila. Then a person would even be allowed to learn before the davening. We're not concerned that he'll get so engrossed, because bevada yaskiru hatzibu lespalo kishivo, because they're all going to remind him, they're going to disturb him, and tell him that it's time to daven Maariv, so he won't get so engrossed in his learning that he'll forget to daven Maariv. Finally, the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat Dalet says you don't have to stop if you started beheter before the shkia, and he says vafilu lekriyashma utfila eno tzorich lahavsik b'emtzis sudoso. And even if it's now the time for kriyashma and tefila, you don't have to stop in the middle of your meal, which you started beheter, kiven shehiskel b'yom be'od mi be'od yom dahaya beheter, since you started, as I mentioned, when it was permissible. Vein lahachmir b'zel lahavsik, and you don't have to be machmir in yourself and stop. And he says, in fact, shemhaya mavsik b'emtzis, if you did in fact stop, nira kimagari shemelech, it looks like you're kicking out the Shabbos king. And in fact, v'dom lezeh darshu mechilta, in similar idea they learned in the mechilta, zocha v'shamer shamreyo b'yitziyoso, you have the din of zocha and shamer as a Shabbos, so you have to observe and watch the Shabbos as it goes out. Ka'adam sheino rod says, sheyelech o'avo meyetzlo kozman sheyocho, which means that you should longingly want the Shabbos to stay, and only with great regret watch it leave. So therefore, we don't make you stop in the middle of this meal. You can carry on your shalosh shudas for an hour after Shabbos. That's not a problem. Then he brings down, if some people were in a rush to go and they wanted to daven Maariv, so you stop eating your shalosh shudas, you stop your meal over here in the middle, and you daven Maariv, then, because of the Magen Avraham, the efshu the whole love chovas avdolah, then it's possible that the chiyav for avdolah has come upon you, for also lechol ad sheyavdol, and you can't eat anymore until you go and make avdolah. However, the Chavetz Chaim himself in the Shaar HaTzion Os Ches brings down from the Elyon Rabbah, Shekos of the Ein Zibuchok, that's not a clear-cut proof. And he further adds, likewise, if it's now Ois Shabbos from a Malacha point of view, and the person still wants to continue with Shalosh Shudas and seeing his mirrors in Divrei Torah, and he says, Baruch Hamav Demikosh Shechol, in order for him to allow to be lighting a candle so they can see what they're doing, so he says, Bezeh Levad Bevadai Lo Chol Lov Chovas Avdolah. That alone doesn't make you have an obligation to say Avdolah, Umutu Ligmar Su'udaso, and you are allowed to go and finish your Shalosh Shudas in that situation. Now, on one thing, he does point out in Dishavu number 13, in that situation, it becomes a little bit problematic and questionable. Can you say Ritzei in the benching or not? With that, we will conclude today's shir.